This time I will read the scripture reading in preparation for Steve's sermon with us. This is from John chapter 4. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, Yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time in which Jesus said to him, Your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee.
Could you go to the second one? I'm going to put a quote up here and going to read it. And then just for a moment, have you think about it. Try to come to some understanding of what it means to you. Not that we'll share that later, but I just want this to be the beginning of our thoughts today. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. Just think about that for a moment. Can you figure out that riddle? Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. This is a quote, comes actually from the movie The Santa Claus. And I Googled, I was hoping to find a richer, deeper source of a statement like this, but couldn't find it. However, I think it does have application to our message. This seeing isn't believing, or seeing is believing, is basically saying, unless I see it with my eyes, unless I somehow experience it, I won't believe it. The other, believing is seeing, is more like, has a lot more to do with faith. I can envision in my mind, or I can hold on to something by faith and kind of see it out there, even though there's no proof that it's out there waiting for me. Think about, with the first one, I need to see it to believe it. Think about Thomas after Jesus' resurrection. Unless I see his hands and his feet, the scars, the nail holes, I'm not going to believe. But others were able to hear that good news and envision that, in fact, Jesus had come to life. So think about that. And I think there's times for both of these. There's times when we need to see evidence. We need to follow the science, or however you'd want to say that. But there's other times when we're called to faith, to believe, especially to believe, the words of God, the promises of God, the evidence of what God's already done, and to be able to believe that he will continue to accomplish his purposes. Some of us, scripture says, are especially endowed with the gift of faith. And to have that in special measure is to have this extraordinary, unwavering confidence in God's power and promise to accomplish even the impossible. Some of us are especially gifted, and we need that in the church. It's these people that are going to encourage others to keep pressing on. It's these people who are going to lead the way into challenging situations, having the faith, having the belief that God is faithful, God will accomplish his purposes. But we're all given a measure of faith by the Holy Spirit. We're all given this, beyond ourselves, this ability to perceive and understand the will of God and the promises of God and to trust that God will be faithful. So that's kind of a lead into our story. In John 4 here, the latter part of this chapter, Jesus is returning to Galilee from Jerusalem. And just a couple of interesting things I read about this scene and just the Gospel of John in general. This is the only healing story in the Gospel of John, according to one commentator. I didn't check that, but this is the only healing story in the Gospel of John. And for John, John described much more about Jesus' public ministry in Jerusalem than in Galilee. The others, Matthew, Mark, Luke, had a lot of stories about Jesus in Galilee, healing and casting out demons and speaking with authority. But so Jesus is back from Jerusalem. He had gone for, I think it was the festival of Pentecost, and other pilgrims went with him and came back with him, and word spread. You should have seen what Jesus did in Jerusalem. And so there was a stir, and this Roman official presents himself. So this is probably a Gentile. This Roman official presents himself before Jesus and pleads with him. And even Jewish person, Gentile, whoever it might be, we see here like a common humanity. His son was gravely ill and he was desperate, and he comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus to come and heal his son. And after pleading that request, Jesus has an interesting response. He says, unless you, and it's actually you plural. So he's kind of speaking to the man, but he's speaking beyond the man to the crowd. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And it almost sounds to me almost like a challenge to this man. Are you different? Do you need to see? Do you need signs before you'll believe and have faith in me? And this man's response, it's almost like he just ignored that statement by Jesus and just said, sir, just please come to my house. If you don't, my son will die. You know, sir, come down before my child dies. So he's not getting into that whole conversation about signs and beliefs and so forth. Just come to my house. My son's dying. And Jesus, seemingly responding to the desperation, but also the faith that this man's putting in him, says, go home, your son will live. And then, can you go to the next one, Donovan? It says, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And so basically he said, your word is enough. He left there. He didn't know. He didn't have any proof, any signs that his son was healed, but he went home with the faith that what Jesus said was true. He believed the word that Jesus spoke, and he went on his way. There's a similar story that's told by both Matthew and Luke. Kind of has that same theme. Again, this is a Roman officer. It seems to be more of a military person, because he says, Jesus, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house, but I know what it's like to have authority. If I tell the people under me to go, they go. If I say come, they come. So you just say the word, and I trust that. In this case, he was pleading again. It wasn't for a son this time, but it was for a beloved servant of his. And so in this story, Jesus is amazed. Like, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel, yet this Gentile officer has this kind of faith. So again, this sense of just utter faith in Jesus at a distance. You know, they still had that distance to go back to this, whether it was a son or this servant. So just in summary of these two stories, it starts with this deep concern and uncertainty and anxiety, and it's very personal as the person brings this concern, and it's coming in faith and pleading that Jesus might address this concern. And Jesus gives a word of healing to them. Go back, your son will live, or go back, what you have asked for will be granted. And in both cases, the individual took Jesus at his word. Your word is enough for me, Jesus. But there's still this distance to travel. They leave with the outcome still unknown. But it seems like by faith they can see it, you know, from our original statement in the beginning. So seeing, they believe. They can see the outcome of Jesus' words. Just a couple scripture stories to remind us of where this happened in other times, and think about in your own life where this might have happened. In Hebrews chapter 11 into chapter 12, it's all about faith. And Hebrews 11 begins with this statement that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. That's what we've been talking about. There's words. It's assurance. It's conviction about things that are not yet seen. It's faith in God and God's word. In our story, the man, the father, put his faith in Jesus' words. There's probably signs and wonders in the past that stirred this man's faith to go to Jesus, but his faith was squarely put on Jesus and the word that Jesus gave to him. It's the word of God spoken to us that can give us faith and can help us interpret the world, especially in times of great uncertainty and anxiety. Abraham, in that chapter 11 of Hebrews, it talks about different people who had great faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was going to receive. Let me say that again. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive an inheritance. He went out without knowing where he was going. But by faith, he lived in the land that had been promised to him. He lived there as a stranger. He lived in tents along with Isaac and Jacob, who were co-heirs of this same promise. He was looking forward to a city that had foundations, whose architect and builder was God. Again, Abraham left, not literally seeing what he was stepping into, but trusted that promise that his descendants would become a great nation and the whole world would be blessed by them. Jesus in Hebrews 12 here is described as the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. So again, seeing something beyond the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, along the way in his ministry, did have signs that clearly the Father was moving powerfully through him. But his trust wasn't in the signs. He wasn't like, I am such an amazing miracle working wonder that I can get through this. You know, his faith was in the promises and the purposes of the Father, that he would endure these things and be victorious and bring about God's redemption. So signs are there. For John, signs are a good thing. But they're there to confirm and encourage our faith. But our faith is clearly in Jesus and his purposes. And as we do that, these signs emerge that can encourage and strengthen our faith. Like in John 6, a couple chapters down, Jesus has that great miracle. The 5,000 people are fed, and the people are crowding around him, and he says, "You're looking for me not because you saw the sign I performed." In other words, you didn't see that sign that I performed. For you, it didn't point to me and the greater reality of who I am. For you, it was just a sign of abundance of food, and you're coming back for more food. But don't work for that food that won't last, but rather this is the work of God, to believe in the one he sent. Let that sign point to something greater, and that's where you put your faith. So that's what I hear in these scriptures. So the big idea here, what I get out of this particular story is, in those uncertain times of life, in those anxious moments, like for this father bringing the concern for his son to Jesus, in those uncertainties, we plead our request to God in prayer with faith. And we trust words of Jesus that are spoken to us that will guide us and strengthen us through that journey that lies ahead to show us the way. We might often give our request to God and then wait and watch. But I think this gives us another step in there, to give our request to God with faith, but then listen for the word of God that might speak to us and direct us and strengthen us in the midst of that uncertainty. Trusting that down the road, signs are going to begin to emerge that God, in fact, is moving, that God is strengthening, that God is somehow moving in the midst of this situation, maybe even beyond what we were asking. So I'd like to, we saved prayer time for the end here, and I'd like to try to put this in practice in our prayer time. And this will require a little bit more or deeper spiritual engagement if we're open to that. That if anybody wants to speak out a situation that's causing a great sense of uncertainty or anxiety, you can share that with us, and we can trust that somehow the Holy Spirit might give us words to speak into that situation, to provide encouragement or direction, that the Holy Spirit might use us to speak these words of Jesus that are spoken into these uncertain times to give faith and to give direction. So I hope that makes sense. Just that we might hear from various individuals, and then just allow, if anybody has a word to speak into that, we'll let Jesus speak a word as he did to this Roman official. So I want to have a word of prayer first, just to dedicate this time to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to be people of faith. We all in life face situations of uncertainty. We face situations that cause great fear or concern. And we can offer them to you. Help us to trust that you speak in the midst of that. You're not silent, but you speak words that give us direction, that help us to silence the doubts or the way the world sees things. But we have your perspective. We have your direction. We have your words of strength. We have signs of your presence and how you are moving and healing and blessing in the midst of these circumstances. So equip us, anoint us with your Spirit to be able to speak to one another as if you want to do that in our midst this morning. So I just offer this time to you. Amen.